Good morning. This is 88.3 WLIW FM Local News. I'm Michael Mackey. Suffolk County will issue a request for proposals this week to solicit innovative traffic solutions for a notorious 7-mile stretch of County Road 39 from Hampton Bays to Watermill. Tom Gogolo reports on 27East.com that Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone announced the pending RFP at a press conference at the Southampton Village Long Island Railroad Station last Thursday. He describes significant issues and challenges relating to the longstanding traffic problems that plague commuters going to and from the South Fork each day. Ballone pledged to find solutions that would vastly improve the traffic flow at the bottleneck. Southampton Town Supervisor Jay Schneiderman and Southampton Village Mayor Bill Manger joined Ballone for the announcement, along with numerous law enforcement officials and a representative from Suffolk County Legislator Bridget Fleming's office. Supervisor Schneiderman described a system of roads never meant for this volume of traffic of people, and further noted that a growing year-round population, coupled with a workforce that has been priced out of the community, had come to a head in recent years with a congestion problem that continues to worsen. The town of Southampton has experimented with changing over to blinking red lights along County Road 39 in Watermill, and also tried out a cops and cones program at the spot where Sunrise Highway ends and County Road begins. A popular but temporary fix that created an extra lane for vehicles transitioning from Sunrise Highway. With construction work due on County Road 39 in the future, much needs to be addressed. Southampton Public Schools students start classes today, as do students in New York City public schools. Meaning from Manhattan to Montauk, the kids are back in class. The majority of Long Island's 124 school districts opened this week, smack in the middle of a heat wave, in which temperatures have soared into the 90s, leading to sweltering classrooms in districts that are not air-conditioned. New York State United Teachers, an organization representing more than 600,000 working and retired educators, said on its website that it has pushed for standards for safe temperatures in buildings. Joy Tyrell reports on Newsday.com that a bill on the issue is expected to be reintroduced in the 2024 state legislative session. The bill would require school districts in New York State to come up with plans to alleviate extreme heat conditions when temperatures hit 82 degrees and require the school to evacuate if the temperature inside hits 88 degrees. Quote, when schools are too hot, students can't learn and teachers can't teach. Even animal shelters have maximum heat limits. Our schools do not, and it is not disrespectful to our students and educators. After pushing off a long-scheduled auction of 14 acres of former U.S. Coast Guard property in West Hampton from August 21st to September 6th, the auction has now been suspended until further notice, the General Services Administration said this week. Tom Gogola reports on 27East.com that the auction had been rescheduled to this month to give the GSA and Town of Southampton time to hammer out a possible deal that would see the property transferred to the town via a public-private partnership with workforce housing developer Georgica Green Ventures. The town of Southampton was banking on state and county support, too, to try to arrive at an agreeable price point for the property in West Hampton. The Shinnecock Indian Nation announced a new development partner for its Little Beach Harvest on-reservation cannabis dispensary after the former partner, Tilt Holdings, expressed concerns about the New York market and substantial doubt about its own ability to remain an ongoing business. Mark Harrington reports on Newsday.com that Tilt Holdings, which starting in 2021 helped fund the groundbreaking and construction of the nearly complete dispensary on sovereign tribal land in Southampton, this week announced it had sold its interest for $1.4 million to a subsidiary of Power Fund Holdings. Another Shinnecock development partner, Connor Green Consulting, continues to hold a minority stake. Tribal leaders and Power Fund said they expect Little Beach Harvest to open in the fall. In a statement released Tuesday, the Shinnecott Council of Trustees thanked Tilt for the year of progress since the 2022 groundbreaking and for leading us through this journey. They also said the Power Fund group would bring us to the point of completion and official opening as the first tribally owned cannabis dispensary in eastern Long Island on our sovereign land. Power Fund Chief Executive Sean Power, in a statement, said that the goals of the Shinnecock Nation and Power Fund are perfectly aligned, that he'd work with subsidiaries to support an ecosystem of Shinnecock-based cultivators and manufacturers. Tilt officials noted challenges in the New York market, including unlicensed operators selling cannabis on Shinnecock land. Brian Polite, chairman of the Shinnecock Council of Trustees, said the tribe has been working to rein in unlicensed shops selling cannabis on the reservation and has instituted a 5-point plan to bring them into compliance. Doing so would benefit the tribe as it would require the shops to pay an approximately 4% tribal fee on sales. Polite also said that it's not just the Shinnecock Nation that is dealing with unlicensed shops. It's an issue for the entirety of New York State. A Suffolk County Supreme Court justice has recommended that a judicial disciplinary committee review the actions of a Southampton attorney who encouraged East Hampton residents to ignore a court order barring vehicles from using a particular stretch of Amagansett Beach. Michael Wright reports on 27East.com that the judge, Justice Paul Baisley Jr., said that the attorney, Dan Rogers, has demonstrated a continuing brazen pattern of misinforming and misleading his clients as to the status of this matter and demonstrated disrespect to the Supreme Court and Appellate Division for ignoring Baisley's restraining order against 4x4s driving onto the beach, traditionally known as Truck Beach. East Hampton town officials said that they hope to start clearing land on Panago Road for a new 16-home subsidized housing development by late November and to see construction of infrastructure begin in January. The town is currently drafting the request for proposals that will be put out to building companies and hopes to have at least a dozen different designs at varying price points available for prospective buyers to choose from. Michael Wright reports on 27East.com that the town of East Hampton will select the 16 buyers by lottery, each of whom will have to qualify for the mortgages and will work with the building contractors on the development of the lots. The town will retain ownership of the underlying land and constraints will be put on the size of house and amenities to ensure that they remain affordable in perpetuity, rather than soaring in value and out of reach of moderate-income buyers, as some previous subsidized housing developments have. Housing Director Eric Shantz said that the town wants to have two different building firms under contract for the project, with each expected to have a package of different designs and price points available to the buyers. Shan said the housing department expects to request that each builder present at least six different designs for the buyers to choose from, a total of a dozen different options across the 16 homes. East Hampton Town Councilwoman Kate Rogers said that the project is being modeled after the Green Hollow Woods development in Waynescott, which she lived near when it was built, and is now a seamless part of the neighborhood it was built amid. Shan said that the town hopes to have the RFP put out to builders by next month. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.